If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like to encourage you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 13. I have a fairly new Bible this morning. It is giant print. The last Bible I had was large print. Now I have giant print. You may have noticed that Susie brought my glasses to me right because I couldn't find them. They're on my desk. So today, giant print version of the Bible, and nothing's wrong with that, I don't believe. I do encourage you to bring your Bibles with you. Today, this is the New International Version, and again, we're in 2 Peter. Today, we're looking at the last chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3, the first 13 verses. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Near the end of the New Testament, we find these words. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last day, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for this letter that Peter wrote to the Christians of the first century. Their words for us too in the 21st. I pray, Lord, a strong blessing upon the words that have been written for us and now will be preached to us. I ask, Lord, for a blessing. If I'm in your way or if I'm wrong, make it right through my heart and my words. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're finishing up a sermon series today. I'd planned 3 weeks. It became 2 weeks when we lost the Sunday to the snow. And we're looking at this biblical book, 2 Peter. Peter, of course, is the apostle of Jesus, one of the inner circle disciples, along with James and John. And he writes this letter again, not to a particular congregation, not to a particular town, not to the folks in Ephesus or Corinth, or Thessalonica, none of those places. He writes a general letter. On the envelope, it might have read, "To whom it may concern," right? I preached this last week. As to the letter itself, there's nothing really new under the sun. He isn't telling us something that we haven't heard before. But Peter takes great care in reminding us of important things. Sometimes we forget important things, don't we, right? And so that's the task of 1 Peter and most importantly, 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, in our passage for today in the third chapter, there's a word of warning about what he will call scoffers. I'm going to start with false prophets and get to scoffers. There is always a warning in the Bible about false prophets. Jesus warns, Paul warns. A false prophet, what is that? That is someone who falsely claims to speak on behalf of God or a divine authority, often spreading misleading, self-serving, and harmful truths that they want to deceive others. So they bring harm to the church, and often they bring harm to the world, and we get a warning against them in Scripture in various passages. Jesus warned us of this too. In his Sermon on the Mount, he said this, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." In a warning, Jesus is telling us, watch out, be careful, right? Paul issues a warning too. In the 20th chapter of Acts, he asks the elders of the church at Ephesus to meet him at the port city of Miletus. And he gives them important words there. Paul believes that his time is nearly over, and so he's handing over the responsibility and the reins of the Ephesian church to the elders. And he writes, "Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following." He says, watch out. When I read the letter of James, I get a little nervous. James writes this, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach shall be held to a higher standard." Ugh! Kind of scares me. In fact, if I'd read that in my first few days of seminary, I might have left. I don't know what I would have done, but I might have left. Peter sounds a similar alarm when he writes, "In the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth, indulging in their own desires." I've heard that word a lot, scoffers. Our scripture says the scoffers came scoffing. What's a scoffer? Well, a scoffer makes fun of people and their ideas. A scoffer sows doubt in the promises of God, especially when the promises of God don't come in a timely manner. And what Peter is addressing in our lesson for today had to do with the second coming of Christ. The disciples believed that Jesus would be right back. That's what he said, "I'll be right back." But he hadn't come, and the scoffers were addressing that. When I was right out of seminary years ago in the mid-1990s, I served a church in Camden, Arkansas called the Harmony Grove Church. Nice little name of a town. And on a Sunday close to Christmas, where sometimes we think about the second coming of Christ, usually on that first Sunday as we get ready to go towards Christmas, I talked about the second coming of Christ. And we had a meal in the fellowship hall afterwards, and Marjorie Garner, Susie, you remember Marjorie, sweetest lady, loved her. She said, "Brother John, I'm 85 years old. I've been hearing sermons on the second coming of Christ my whole life. Do you think it will ever happen?" And let me tell you what I told Marjorie Garner, fresh out of seminary. I said, "Yes, I do." And here I am 30-some-odd years later. You know what my answer to you today is? Do I believe that it will happen? Yes, I do. When? I do not know. The Bible says only God knows that. Jesus says, "Not many of you will taste death before you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." But it had not happened. A generation is dying out, and some are beginning to wonder if it will ever happen. Listen to what the scoffers say. So what happened to the promised coming of Jesus Christ? Since the beginning of creation, nothing has happened. Jesus promised the kingdom, and what we got instead was the church, right? In Peter's day, folks were growing weary. Some were even losing heart. Some were becoming disillusioned. Maybe that's you too. Maybe you too have wondered this question, Where is he? Choir, where's Jesus? Have you seen him? Right? See, right here. Mark tells a great story. It's one of my favorite in scriptures about a day that Jesus and the disciples got in a boat on the Sea of Galilee and went across those waters. You'll remember this story. Jesus had been working hard, preaching hard, teaching hard. He was tired, he was weary, and he fell asleep in the stern of the boat. You remember this story? Mark tells us that a furious squall came out of nowhere over the Sea of Galilee. It was common for that to happen. And the water was coming into the boat, right? And there were at least four disciples who were fishermen there. And they go to Jesus and say, "Hey, can't you intervene? Do something." That's my version, but that's what they say, right? Jesus stands up in the boat, and let me encourage you not to stand up in a boat. That's not good. But Jesus stands up in the boat, and he says, "Hush. Be still." And the storm retreated. If you want to see that scene, come to my office. I have a great picture of it. The lesson, of course, is if Jesus is in your boat, no worries. No worries. But sometimes we wonder. We can't help it. Some of you might be wondering it this morning. Is Jesus in my boat? Is Jesus in my life? Is God with me? The scoffers in Peter's day were raising that possibility, and Peter answers in the fifth verse, they deliberately closed their eyes to God. I ran across another version of that that says, they became dumb on purpose. I like that. I'm often dumb, rarely on purpose, but they became dumb on purpose. So what would we say to the scoffers of that day? What would we say to a scoffer of this day today? I have three things I want to lift out of the scripture for you today. I think they'll help. Here's the first. You can trust and remember the promises of God. Amen? We have in giant print the Word of God. This is not a novel to be read and put on a bookshelf for later. These are not characters that, wasn't that a nice little story? This is the Word of God, and truth can be found inside of it. It can help us. This is our God in the pages of our Bible. He is the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Jesus Christ, His only Son. In fact, I can tell you, he's not asleep in a boat. He's alive and he is well. The Bible says this in one of my favorite Psalms. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he's coming back one day, and we need to be ready for it. More about that in a minute. Here's the second thing I want to remind you of. God's timing is different than our timing. Have y'all ever heard a teacher on television named Joyce Meyer? Y'all ever heard Joyce Meyer teach? Years ago, she said something that has been in my heart all these years. She said, God's soon and my soon aren't the same soon. Does that make sense? God's soon and my soon aren't the same soon. You see, God doesn't just jump when I say, "Hey, God, jump." His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are deeper than my thoughts. And his timing is different than my timing. Peter writes, "A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day." No doubt you've heard the old preacher's story, the old joke, right, about the man who had an opportunity to speak to God, and he asked, "God, what is money like to you?" God answered, "Well, a penny is like $1 billion. I added billion. It used to be million. I added billion. The man asked the second question, "God, what is time like for you?" God answers, "Well, a second is like 1,000 years. The man thought a minute and he said, "God, may I have a penny?" And God said, yes, in a minute. It's kind of crazy to think that you can calculate God's timing with your watch or with your Google calendar. That's a little crazy. So we can trust the Word of God, right? God's timing is different than our timing. And finally this, there is the character of God. Our lesson explains the delay. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he is being patient with you. The Message translation of the Bible paraphrase says, not wanting anyone to be lost, he's giving everyone space and time to change. That's who God is. God's giving you every opportunity to come to him. And so Peter asks, what kind of people should we be? Well, here's his answer. You should strive to be holy and live a godly life. He says you should try to be found blameless and spotless. And your goal is peace with God. Choir, y'all got those three? Forget the scoffers. Scoffers are going to be scoffing. Right? Remember God's word. Remember God's timing is different than our timing. Remember God's character. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are deeper than our thoughts. He sees it all. Remember, God wants everyone to be saved. Everyone.